to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a beautiful Sunday morning, June the 5th, 2011, and I am honored and privileged that maybe you tuned in. If you're a new listener, come to my website at aspire.org. That's about all I can say. Take a look around. Maybe there might be something there that would serve you. I am here to offer to you the alternative to conventional thinking and religion and philosophy and all that other stuff that we tend to get caught up in. And what I try to do is just give you another side. And if that helps you, hopefully it does, you will know what you have always felt is that which you have always been. You are love. Nothing more, nothing less. I have some very pungent questions today that concern me a great deal. I cannot tell you how much these questions got me. They came in different times, but all during the same week. And I don't know what provokes this all the time. It might be consciousness. The collective unconscious is probably where I would go with it. But maybe one of these questions has something to do with how you feel about your life. This first one comes from Claude in San Diego. After watching you and listening to you on radio via your website, I am very frightened. I'm a cautious person. You sound extremely radical to me. What is your purpose on TV and or radio, Claude? Claude, I am really not thinking about a purpose, but yet there is a kind of a deliberateness about what I do. And so it is there. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm an alternative. I am something that is living within you. I'm that still small voice that you ignore, that you don't think is real or you don't think is important or you don't think has a voice loud enough to be important to you. I'm the part of you that was probably put aside many years ago. I don't respond well to emotion and passion or the idea of confrontation, even reasoning. I was sitting with a Zen student a few weeks ago at breakfast, and I asked her, what appeals to you about Zen? She looked at me and said, it's reasonable, it's logical. And though I didn't say it because it's not my place to say it, I find Zen to be illogical and unreasonable. And I find it extremely beautiful that it is. I don't need things to appeal to my mind or my emotions to give me a sense of its purpose or its importance in my life. So, Claude, you've got to understand what I am teaching you here is unconscionable generosity and kindness. I am teaching you something that is absolutely impossible to understand with the mind. It's inconceivable in mind. It is unconscionable in its kindness and love and in its forgiveness. And if you understand that, then you can read my commentaries, you can listen to my podcast and my video cast and my radio programs and my TV program, and it will kind of become obvious to you what I am doing. I'm out of the box. I try to be, let's say. I have to be very tempered in what I say, because really what I know and what I say are sometimes opposite, because I can't tell you what I know, because to say it defeats what I know. And it's the same thing with you. Deep inside you, you know. You are inexplicable. You are so beautiful. You are so loving. You are so unfolding that it's inexplicable to the mind. So the mind discounts it. Our life is what it is because we discount how beautiful we are. All of us. And I'm not saying that to gratify you or coerce you or seduce you. You are far more beautiful than you imagine. We have yet to touch the tip of the iceberg of how beautiful we are. We have had people come into this world, Lhasa, Buddha, Jesus, Yogananda, Nisargadatta. We've had Krishnamurti, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, Muktananda, all these very beautiful people, Sai Baba, all these people who have come into this world to help us. But we sneer at them, we make fun of them, we look for their faults, we want a perfect person. We're in a certain mania, Claude, and that mania is being cautious. You have to look deep inside you and understand that fear only begets more fear. Only love takes fear and hate and dispels it in such a way that it brings us closer and closer to the meaning of ourselves in this world and in this life. Buddha said, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. So maybe in my own clodhopper way, in my own means, I'm trying to help you dispel the hate that lives within you, to at least question it, to no longer get so involved in it that it is the absolute and last word of your own life. If I can help you along in that way, then I feel that what I've done has been very good. I want you to question. You ask me, what am I doing here on the radio? What is my purpose on TV? To help you question a little bit what most people never question. To question your emotions as feeling. They're not. My emotions are about many things, but that doesn't make them the feel of my life. The feel of my life is love, not emotion, not passion. Most people would fight to the death to prove me wrong on that. And they might win to the death, but it still wouldn't prove me wrong. Another one, thoughts. Do they think you or do you think them? For the most part, people are arrogant. So arrogant that they think that they're thinking their thoughts. They're not. The thoughts are thinking them. And they sit there and go through these thoughts, thinking them over and over and over, droning over them, lamenting over them, fighting with them, instead of just ignoring them, being as passive towards them as most people are towards my radio program, my TV program. I'm not a popular guy, Claude. Don't think I am. I don't walk down the street and people say, hey, Greg, thanks so much for, you know, what you try to do, yada-da-yada-da. It doesn't work like that at all. My work is very difficult, and the things I do are very difficult, but they are there to be of service to humankind, and not to all of you, but only those of you who have ears to hear and eyes to see. I am not for everyone. No teacher is who is teaching compassion and love. I'm not a perfect man. Nobody is perfect. I'm sure you can find many faults with me. You could misunderstand me, misinterpret me at any point. Just like any other teacher who is teaching you something that isn't emotional and that it isn't mental. But what can I do? You have to suffer the consequences of your own misgivings. Being a cautious person is not a loving person. Flowers are not cautious. The moon is not cautious. The sky is not. The river, the ocean, all these things that are in life that we see are abundant, and they flourish according to the meaning of themselves upon their own existence. You should do the same, and so should I. We should just flourish in love and cast our hopes and desires away in the toilet and just live as a perpetual love. That's what I am teaching. And this is achieved not through philosophy or religion, but meditation. It is about finding that which lives within you that is inexplicable, and then allowing that to blossom and bloom in your life as love. People don't talk like this much on radio, do they? Or on TV. It is the message of Lhasa and the Tao Te Ching. It is the message of the Buddha in the Dhammapada. It is the message of Jesus in the Beatitudes and throughout his whole life. So you must understand, if you can, Claude, my purpose, I'm a whisper. I'm the one they kick around the block. I'm the one that doesn't make sense and should be ignored. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's just the way of the world, and it's getting worse. Trust me. So, if you can glean a little bit from me, if you can, through your caution, maybe glean a little bit, you won't glean much, you won't know much, you won't hear much out of caution, but maybe I will be the pebble in your shoe, that little irritant that causes a pearl eventually. And if so, I am tremendously grateful to be in your life. Please forgive me. Namaste. When I was young, I went to India and did all the beautiful things I could do with myself. And I foolishly, and I had to learn this as time went on and my practice started to become more and more powerful, not to hope for people to get this stuff, to understand it. And once I understood that it is not for the masses, that's when I was very troubled for a while in my own life and in my own practice. If you've ever stood up before people and talked to them, you understand how deeply desperate they live, how poorly they live from within themselves. They might live very well and elegantly in the world, but not within themselves. It's sad. My next question is from Felix, who I've never met. I don't know who he is. He's 13 years old, watches me on TV down in San Diego. And he says to me, "Why is the world so mean? I am so afraid of growing up. What will I do?" Felix. This is a very painful question for me. I don't know what you're going to do. I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you to follow your heart and find it and then follow it without arguing and quibbling with it. And if you do that, you'll be fine. You will go from one adventure to another. And you'll find everything has meaning, everything has purpose, everything is significant, and that will be more than enough to take care of you for the rest of your life, trust me. But most people aren't into that, and most people do not do that. And there are very good chances you won't either, because your fear will keep you from living in that precious moment of the inexplicable heart that all of us have. I understand your intrepidation about life and everything. I truly get it. I know why you feel the way you do. When I was 18, 19, 20, 25, you know, in that area, I had a great hope for the world and I had great aspirations just to be a small cog in a very big mechanism to help the world come to oneness. I grew up with the, you know, we want to teach the world to sing type of thing. And I was deeply moved by oneness. And I still am deeply moved by oneness. I feel that oneness. So Felix, if there is anything you want to do in this life, and you are asking why people are mean, it is because they don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. They only believe themselves to be certain things. They live as fear, and they coddle fear. Fear is very important to them. It is only the only thing they really worship. They don't worship in churches like you'd like to believe and they'd like to believe, maybe. They worship in the church of fear. And that's all churches are fear-based premises where people go to remind themselves of what they need to be worried about and fearful of. People are mean because they don't care about love. They are not into mercy, compassion, kindness, not at all. It's more about who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad. We live in the mania of our own mind and passions. And hence we have created for ourselves a terrible, terrible lifetime filled with all sorts of misunderstandings and blowing things up and killing people. And I understand how you feel. I do understand. But the only thing you can do is maybe a little bit of what I've done. I may not like what I see in the world and the way it's all turned out. And don't think I do, because I don't. But I can be one thing that isn't of the world. I can be kind and be interpreted as a fool. I can be generous and interpreted as an idiot. I can be forgiving and misunderstood for that as, well, someone who is just placating others. You can have a sense of mercy and people will look at you and think that you're too giving or you're too trusting or you're causing more problems. Do the things that your heart tells you to do, Felix. Be true to your heart. Don't be true to the culture, the society, or the politics. Don't be true to their moralistic beliefs that they are hypocritical about. Don't even go there. Find your heart, Felix. Find love in you, and then let love live you. My students hear me say this all the time. Let love live you. Don't you live your idea of love. And they just roll their eyes and think I'm crazy. Yet they see me do it. And they see me go through what I go through as a teacher and as a man and as a human being. And they never learn. So remember something, Felix. If you do anything you do to get a reaction from people or get them to see what you're trying to do is better than maybe what they would do alone, you're misguided, and that is not a healthy way to go. Just be authentic to your heart. Serve your heart. Live through your soul. Let people see in your eyes that which they are most frightened of, which is compassion, forgiveness, and love. And if you do those things, no matter what you do, you will have made an authentic change in this world. Someone will feel it somewhere, and they will respond in kind. It matters not that they don't know who you are. All that matters is that we are one in a moment in love. Please forgive me. Namaste. Very disturbing to think that you're 13, 14 years old and going into what we have made of this world. It's very disturbing. Last question comes from Sandy. And she listens to us via the radio here on KRXA in Salinas. And I'm very grateful. She says, is there a way to live normal in a world that has gone crazy? Sandy. Sandy, my love, what is normal? I don't know what normal is. I don't know what you call normal. So I am very confused here. If normal is responding out of hate and fear and living in a kind of an emotional bias of hate and fear, then there's every opportunity to be normal. But if you want to live a life that is beyond normal, maybe a life that truly is the norm for real living, you and I have to learn to live in simplicity. Don't be complicated, and don't complicate your life. It is difficult in this world not to complicate my life. It is very, very difficult. I complicate my life in so many ways. The more I want, the more complicated my life becomes. And the more complicated my life becomes, the more difficult I become. And then the whole ball of wax starts getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. And you don't want to go there. So, Sandy, treat everything as though it is significant before you. Don't try to treat things the way you want things to be. Treat them as they are, significant unto themselves. And if that means that you're on your knees and you are cleaning a toilet at home, you clean it with love. That means that you are a waitress and you are serving food to customers, you are serving it to your beloveds, and you serve it to them as though they are your beloved. If that means that you have to let go of something that has caused you a great deal of pain, even though there is a lot of emotion wrapped around it, you let it go in the knowing that by letting it go, you are becoming clearer and clearer about compassion, love, and mercy. Don't live for your desires, and don't let your desires live you. Live so simple that everything can come into and out of your life as it needs to offer to you the blessing of whatever it is. Welcome it. And look at it as though it is there being sent to you from the unseen hand of life that is trying to offer to you significance. Live for significance and not for desire, ambition, and pride. And if you can do those things, which you can, any of us can, you live a much more beautiful life than you might ever imagine. And you will find it is not the conditions and the circumstances of our living that dictate the meaning of a person's life. It is the consciousness, the flow of consciousness within you that dictates the meaning of your life. You can either live for circumstances and conditions in order to make your life what you believe it should be, or you can live in love and let love live you and let life take on a new form. It is a very powerful experience to live as love and to be tender and compassionate enough to offer it to the world. Every act you do, everything that you move through in your life, everything you touch makes life significant. Please forgive me. Namaste. Great question, Sandy. If you have a comment or question and would like to email me your concern, your question, whatever I can do to be of service to you, please come to my beautiful new website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And if you go to media, you'll see on the main page a home about Aspire, the path, the catalog, support Aspire, which I hope you will do, and media. You can go right to media, radio programs, and if you click on that, you will come to a page where you can email me. You'll see a little Buddha on the computer. It's pretty cute, and you can write me an email. You know, this radio program, like the TV program, is supported by sponsors, people who care enough about what they hear here on radio. And you have to admit, the message on Aspire is very different than most messages you hear on radio. To stay on the air, we have to pay airtime. I have to pay Hal money, and I have to pay Channel 4 money to be on TV. They don't do it for free. So the whole effort here is to get a sponsorship. And if you become a sponsor of Aspire to help us sustain the program, I will send you each and every month a beautiful message of the month. It's a little CD you'll get every month on some spiritual subject that I feel is most important. And for the month of June, I am doing the Beatitudes and talking about humility and meekness a little bit in the newsletter message of the month. And my discourses on the Beatitudes are really, really special. Anyway, you can also then go to the catalog section of our website and choose any Aspire product you like as my free gift to you. And next month, you will receive, really later this month, my new series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, a four-disc series with eight different discourses based on the book Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, eight different Zen stories that are very, very powerful and meaningful, and that will be my free gift to you also. So you can start as low as $25 a month or $50 a quarter, four times a year. That's only $200 a year, and that helps a great deal, and we need sponsors to keep this radio program and our TV program on the air. So I hope that you will join. If you want more information, please come to the website at aspire.org. Go look at Support Aspire, and it will tell you everything, and you can sign up safely and securely from the website. And I will send you your message of the month, and you can go to the catalog section and choose anything you like. There's lots of CDs there, meditations, videos, everything to help you live a more conscious and inexplicable life. Eh? I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air next Saturday and Sunday, of course, at 9:04 here on KRXA. I want to thank Hal for having me, and I want to thank you for listening. And I hope in some way I have helped you this morning. Have a great Sunday. And once again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.